Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a subsign for old school rave pressure in Ableton Live 12, and we're going to do it the way it actually works in a drum and bass mix, tight, disciplined, and heavy in the right way. Now, when I say subsign, I mean the pure low-end foundation. This is not the flashy bass. This is not the talking layer. This is the weight under the tune, the thing that makes the room feel bigger even when the sound design is pretty minimal. In jungle, rolling D&B, and that old school rave zone, the sub is often doing more emotional work than people realize. It's the pressure under the floor. First thing, create a dedicated MIDI track and name it SUB, sign. Keep it separate from your mid-bass. That separation matters. If you blend everything too early, you lose control, and in D&B, control is everything. For the source, the cleanest choice in Live 12 is operator. Load operator, turn on oscillator A and set it to sign. Turn the other oscillators off. Keep the filter out of the way. We want a true sine-based sub, not something pretending to be one. If you're tempted to get fancy here, resist that urge. The sub needs discipline before personality. Now dial in the envelope. You want a fast but smooth start. Something around half a millisecond to a few milliseconds on the attack is a good starting point. Too fast and you can get clicks. Too slow and the low end loses its edge. For release, keep it short enough that the notes don't smear into each other, but not so short that the line feels chopped off. You want the bass to breathe with the groove. And here's a really important mindset shift. Sequence the sub like a drummer, not like a melody writer. The exact start and end of each note changes the feel more than most people expect. In fast rave programming, that timing is part of the groove. It's not just what notes you choose, it's where they sit against the kick and snare. So open up your MIDI clip and think in two bar phrases. At around 170 BPM, start with a simple rhythmic idea. Put a note on the downbeat, leave space for the snare, and use short pickup notes or syncopated hits to answer the break. A good subline doesn't fight the drums. It dances with them. It leaves room for the snare to snap through, and it supports the kick instead of crowding it. For pitch choices, keep it simple. Root, fifth, octave, maybe a minor third if you want a darker edge. If you're writing in F minor, for example, F, C, and Ab give you a strong foundation. You can use a passing note like G or Ab for movement, but don't turn the sub into a full melody. The more busy your midrange is, the more restrained your sub should be. If you want that old-school rave attitude, timing is where the magic starts to happen. Try nudging some notes slightly behind the drum transient for more weight. Sometimes pushing a note a tiny bit earlier gives urgency. This is subtle stuff, but in bass music, subtle can be huge. You're not just placing notes, you're shaping the pocket. Ableton's groove tools can help here too. If you use a groove, keep it subtle. Around 10 to 25% is often enough. The sub should still feel tighter than the drums. If you overswing the low end, it gets mushy fast. You want movement, not wobble. Now let's talk glide. This is where you can get some of that classic jungle and rave attitude. If you're using operator in mono mode, you can enable glide or portamento and keep it pretty short, maybe 30 to 90 milliseconds to start. Use it for short slides into root notes, octave drops, or those little tension moves that make the bass line sound alive. But be careful. Glide is seasoning. Too much and it starts blurring the rhythm. Now let's build a practical chain. On the sub track, start with operator, then a Q8, then utility, then a compressor or glue compressor, then maybe a little saturator, and only use a limiter if you're protecting the signal. The goal is not to crush the sub. It's to stabilize it and make it translate. With EQ8, clean up the extremes. High pass gently below around 20 to 30 Hz if needed, just to remove useless rumble. Don't go carving out the soul of the sound. If the fundamental is sitting nicely, leave it alone. Use the analyzer as a guide, but don't let it trick you. A spectrum analyzer can tell you there's energy there, but not whether the groove actually feels heavy. The ears and the chest have the final word. Then put utility on and keep the sub mono. Width at zero. No stereo widening, no clever tricks. For a true sub layer, mono all the way. That's especially important in D&B, because clubs and large systems will expose phase problems immediately. If the sub is wide, you're asking for trouble. Now compress it gently. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 is enough in most cases. You want only a few dB of gain reduction, just enough to smooth out note-to-note differences, especially if you've got long notes, short notes, and glide happening in the same line. If the compressor starts pumping in a way that steals the groove, back off, and then, very lightly, add harmonics. This is a big one. A pure sine can be powerful, but on smaller systems it can disappear. So give it a little translation without turning it into distortion soup. Saturator is perfect for this. Tiny drive, maybe 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip on, and then compensate the output. If you can obviously hear the distortion, you've probably gone too far for the sub layer. You want presence, not fuzz. Now the most important mix relationship. Sidechain it to the kick. In drum and bass, this is not optional. If the kick and sub are trying to occupy the same space at the same time, the low end will fight itself. Use Ableton's compressor sidechain, feed it from the kick track, and shape the ducking so it breathes musically. Fast attack, moderate release, and a threshold that gives you consistent ducking under the kick. And here's a pro move, check phase between kick and sub in mono. Sometimes the low end is loud on paper but feels smaller in the room, because the kick body and sub fundamental are arriving in an awkward relationship. Flip polarity if needed and compare. This can make a bigger difference than adding another processor. If you have a mid-bass layer, split the job properly. Keep the sub sign in its own lane, and let the mid-bass handle the character. That could be a Reese, a stab, a reggae-style layer, whatever your tune needs. Think of the sub as the floor and the mids as the color. Use a crossover area somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz as a starting point, then adjust by ear. Now let's make the arrangement evolve. A strong subline shouldn't just loop unchanged for the whole tune unless that's a very intentional minimal move. In the intro, you can hint at the bass with reduced weight or a filtered fragment. In the build, strip out some notes so the listener feels the tension. Then on the drop, bring in the full sub phrase. On the second drop, change the rhythm slightly, add an octave move, or alter the ending so the energy keeps moving. A really effective old-school move is the missing beat. Leave out a note where the ear expects one, and the next hit suddenly feels heavier. That tiny absence can be more powerful than adding another note. Same idea with octave drops. If you end a phrase in the higher register, then drop down one octave for a single hit, it can sound massive, especially before a filler turnaround. Also, don't forget note length. Subs are rhythmic instruments. A short note gives bounce. A medium note gives groove. A long note gives pressure and sustain. Spend time editing note lengths as carefully as you would drum hits. That's one of the big differences between a bass line that just exists and one that actually drives the tune. If you want a really practical exercise, build a two-bar loop in F minor at 172 BPM. Use only 4 to 6 notes total. Make sure you have at least one held note, one short syncopated hit, and one pitch move or octave change. Then process it with EQ, utility, compression, a tiny bit of saturator, and sidechain it to the kick. Duplicate the clip and make a variation. Remove one note, move one note earlier, or change the ending note so the loop creates tension. That's how you start getting into arrangement, not just pattern writing. One more advanced idea, use velocity carefully. Even with a sine sub, velocity can control operator level or saturation amount if you map it right. That gives you accents without making the low end unstable. Keep it subtle. You're aiming for movement, not obvious dynamics. And here's the golden rule for this whole lesson. Aim for readable, not just audible. On proper systems, the sub should be felt as motion and weight. On smaller speakers, a little harmonic support helps, but you don't need the whole bass line to announce itself. If it still feels powerful at low volume, you're doing it right. So to recap, use operator for a clean sine source, keep the sub mono, sequence it with the drums in mind, control the note lengths, sidechain it properly, and add just enough harmonic support to make it translate. Keep the processing light and intentional. If the sub starts feeling bloated, messy, or overly obvious, simplify before you add more. That's the real old-school rave pressure approach. Deep, disciplined, and heavy enough to make the room move. If you want, I can also turn this into a live 12-rack template or write you a ready-to-program MIDI pattern in F minor.